We are going to be looking at the topic of fasting. And this has been a topic that's been very close to my heart. And there are a lot of books on fasting that you could do more research in. I just want to start by saying that I am not a medical doctor. And that to go further into fasting, when you're looking at fasting, you do need to talk to your doctor and make sure that you are physically and able to be able to do fasting in your own personal life. Greatest thing I did in my life was go through Operation the Game, so I really don't have any medical expertise. So I want to encourage you, make sure that you contact your doctor and you ask and see if they believe that it's okay for you to go through fasting as well, for how long and what you're going to give up and things like that. So if you have your Bible, we are going to look at the topic of fasting, and we're going to start with really something very interesting. And in our own spiritual life, if you look within your own spiritual journey, are there things that are holding you back? Are there things that are grabbing you, maybe addictions, maybe attitudes, maybe tough decisions that you're going to have to make in the future, finances, business, your spiritual walk with God? Oftentimes we do have those things that hold on to us or grip us. And oftentimes we are looking for the answer of what can I do to really break free. And I'm going to put forth the idea today that the answer to a lot of those questions is in the topic of fasting. The first thing we want to look at is in Matthew chapter 6. See, Jesus said that his disciples would be doing three things. So I want you to grab your Bible. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 1. This is in the ESV I'm going to be reading from, and it says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." See, oftentimes our spiritual things that we're doing in our life, like praying, reading our Bible, giving, fasting, we're doing it so that we'll get approval of people around us instead of approval of God. And he says in that verse that I will receive no reward from my Father in heaven. "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, for they will be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly," or will reward you. This passage is saying that Jesus is saying, it's in red, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, saying that my disciples will be giving to the needy. So if you look in your life, are you a giving person? Or do I give reluctantly or grudgingly? Am I really, from my heart, giving and doing it secretly? That's the first thing he brings out. The second thing Jesus says, verse 5, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." And then in verse 6, he talks about how should we pray. But the next thing, number 2, is that Jesus' disciples will pray. And not to be seen of men, but to pray to God secretly. Then the next thing, the third thing he says his disciples will be doing, verse 16, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, and their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Fasting is the third thing. So the first thing, prayer. First thing is giving. Second thing is prayer. And the third thing is fasting. "But when you fast, do it this way." Not that I would be seen by men and that people would see that I'm fasting. A lot of times I get sad, I may get discouraged, I may get depressed because I haven't eaten anything today. I may look unhappy. And Jesus said, don't do that. He said, anoint your head with oil. You know, get dressed the way that you normally do. You know, put on that smile that you normally have. And that I'm doing this before God in secret. That I would not be praised by men, but that God would see what I'm doing. So what is fasting? Good question. Fasting is really giving up things in my life for godly principles or for spiritual purposes. You can fast from food, you could fast from entertainment, you could fast from social media, you could fast from coffee, you can fast from tea. Anything that is holding on your life, that is gripping you, I can let go of it. I'm fasting for this, God, so that I will get closer to you, and I'm using that time to dedicate my life to you. But oftentimes the word in Scripture that when you think of fasting that comes to mind is giving up food for the purpose of spiritual purposes, that I get become closer and more sensitive to God in my life. Our bodies, we really have three parts to us. We have our flesh, which is what you see. That is what separates me from someone else. I also have my soul, which is more of my personality. It is my will, my intellect, and my emotions. It's the part of me that says, I want this. It's the part of me that says, I think this. And it's the part of me that says, I feel this. And that's really the one that we're focusing on in this topic of fasting. And the third part of us is our spiritual being, our spirit. Okay, so we've got a body, our soul, which are those three parts, and then our spirit to us. Our soul is really my ego, it is me. Okay, and we are a very selfish, self-centered people by nature. Our soul, me, I am focused on what I want, what I desire, and what I think. Okay? And oftentimes those get in the way of the Spirit, God speaking to me, telling me what He wants me to think, what He wants me to feel, and what He wants me to do or desire. And these two are in conflict one to another. And these come out through our body. Okay? So in Scripture, we see a lot of passages on fasting. We don't have the time to really look up every verse. We are going to focus on a couple of kind of key verses that I think that we should kind of look at and just to see what it means. But one of the spiritual battles that we have going on in our life between now and when we enter the presence of God for all of eternity is saying no to me. Within my flesh, it says in Scripture, there dwells no good thing. So what I want, what I desire, and what I think, and what I feel, oftentimes those are not what God wants. And so I have to learn, as a servant of God, I have to learn how to humble my soul before God. And we want to look at a verse in several passages today. If you have your Bible, we're going to now go to James chapter 4. In verse 4, it says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But verse 5, or do you not suppose that it says, it is to no purpose that Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us. Verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So I may be a believer, a servant of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, and I am living my life as a person who's proud. It is about what I want, it is about what I think, and it is about what I feel. And if that's true in your life right now, this verse says that God opposes you. And until the rest of that verse, become humble, then God will give me grace. You see, oftentimes it's what I want that is against what God is wanting to do in my life. So I need to humble myself. What is one of the greatest ways that we humble ourselves? Through fasting. And oftentimes it's not just one day, it may be one meal, but it could be several days of fasting as well. Then it says, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We're going to jump down to verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. When I have given up food for the day, or food for this morning or the afternoon, and I decide that I'm going to spend that extra time in prayer and in scripture reading and focused on God and seeking after the Lord, and I'm really humbling myself, saying, God, I want you more than I want food. And that verse says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. God will take care of you. God will lift you up. Jonah is a good reference in the Old Testament of what happens to a nation if they decide to fast. It's in the Old Testament, Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. And if you remember the story of Jonah, God told him to go into Nineveh and to preach the gospel. And he rejected what God said, and he left. He got on a boat, was sailing away, and a storm came up, and they found out Jonah was the one, and he said he was running away from God. So he told them, throw him overboard. So they threw Jonah overboard, and a giant fish swallowed Jonah. And in the belly of the fish, he waited 3 days until he really humbled himself before God. He apologized for his sin, asked God for forgiveness, and the fish spat him up on the beach head or the ocean sea line. And Jonah then went into Nineveh and preached the gospel. So verse 4, it says, Jonah began to go into the city, he going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. The whole town, the whole city of Nineveh refuses to eat food. They call a fast for the whole nation. And then at the end of the chapter, verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil way, God relented of his disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. One of the greatest ways of repentance in our lives is when we fast before God and we turn from our sin. So fasting combined with repenting, it says here, God saw what they had done. He saw how serious they were, and he did not destroy the city of Nineveh. So look in your life. Is there something that you need to repent from, to turn from? You may want to start with fasting first and seek the Lord and then turn from your wicked way. Another verse that we will look at in the Old Testament that deals with that same idea of repenting and turning towards God is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, the greatest way to humble myself is through fasting, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You know, I always believed that in our spiritual life, that if I have an addiction or something that I can't let go of, that oftentimes I can just throw it off. Cold turkey, I'm done. I throw off cigarettes, I throw off alcohol, I throw off drugs, I throw off sex, I throw off lust. But this verse says that won't do it. I need to humble myself first before God. I need to pray. God, I need your help. I can't do this. I need to seek the face of God on a regular basis, meeting with God to meet my emotional heart needs. And then I turn from my wicked ways. I let go of the sin that easily holds on to me. And then the rest of the verse says, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And I know in your heart right now, you may need your heart healed. You may need your land healed in your house, in your community, in your nation, in your family, in your personal life. And God says he promises he will heal your land. If you do these things, if I humble myself before God, if I pray, if I seek his face and I turn from my wicked ways. So fasting is something that is so powerful, it really gets God's attention. God sees when his kids are fasting. And he sees that our hearts desires that we turn to him and we want to know him. Well, is this mentioned anywhere else? Let's look at Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments. In the Old Testament, most people tore their garments to show that they were mourning, that they were sorrowful. And God says, don't just rip your outward garments, rip the inward garments of your heart before me. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disasters. But verse 12, return to me with all your heart with fasting. There was a story of a man in New York City, and he was wanting to fast, so he decided on the next day, maybe Wednesday, that he was going to fast and give that day to God. And then his stomach was growling all day long. You know, around 11, he couldn't believe it that he was going to make it. And at the end of the day, he said, you know, stomach, you really gave me a hard time today. And he said, to really make sure I know that I'm serious before God and to teach you a lesson, I'm going to fast tomorrow. So he really showed his body who was really going to be in control. Is it going to be his body growling, or is it going to be God who showed him? If we want to go to now the New Testament, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. We see that fasting was a process of what Jesus was doing on a regular basis. It says, and Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. For 40 days being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they ended, he was hungry. Then the rest of Luke chapter 4 talks about the temptation by the enemy. But here the Lord Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He ate nothing. And he was so dependent on God meeting his needs that he gave up that entire time of just fasting and being with God. And God met all of his needs. See, God can meet your needs too. And another passage we want to look at is Acts chapter 13. In the early church, they dedicated themselves to fasting as well. Acts 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. And then verse 3, and after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. See, here in the early church, the Holy Spirit had put it on the hearts of the members and the elders that were there while they were giving themselves to praying and fasting to separate these two men and to bless the men before they went on their journey. They were praying and they were fasting, and they blessed them before they sent them off. Is your church or some of the members in your church and the elders, are they fasting on a regular basis? If not, you may want to talk to them about this topic of fasting. We're going to look at Acts chapter 14, verse 23. And when they had anointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Once again, the elders, the leaders, the members of the church were praying and fasting. They had them together. There's another passage in Scripture where the Lord Jesus, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, we could not remove the enemy in this man's life. And Jesus specifically said that this kind of enemy, and this enemy only comes out with prayer and fasting. See, when I'm fasting, I'm giving myself over into the hands of God, saying, God, you take over. I want you to be in control of me. And that releases, a lot of times, the bonds and the strongholds that the enemy has on our life. Well, a classic passage on fasting, what we're going to look at is Isaiah 58. So if you could turn to Isaiah chapter 58, we're going to start in verse 6. And he says, is this not the fast I have chose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? See, in your life, are you bonded with any wickedness? Do you have any addictions? Anything that's holding you back or stopping you from advancing in your spiritual walk with God? Then that is a bond of wickedness. And it's a yoke, it's a heavy burden that I have on me. And I need God to remove that from me. I can't remove it myself. And he says that this fast that I have chosen, it could be coffee, it could be sweets, it could be food, it could be solid food, it could be other pleasurable things like media, social media, that I've decided I'm going to go without this for a certain amount of days. And he says that the oppressed go free. And I may be oppressed by the enemy, I may be discouraged, my business may be failing, my family is failing, my kids, who knows where they are. See, I may be under huge oppression, and this verse says that the oppressed will go free if I've really dedicated myself to prayer and fasting. It breaks every yoke, the things that are trying to destroy me, bad habits, things physically, addictions, once again. Verse 7, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? When I fast, my spiritual sensitivity will be enlightened. I will be more sensitive spiritually, and which is a warning, because I can be sensitive spiritually to the enemy or to God. So that's why when I'm fasting, I really need to fast also from media, from books, from entertainment, things like that. That way I'm more fasting towards godly character and getting closer to God in my life. But when I'm fasting, I will be more sensitive seeing the poor around me, seeing that Betty, three houses down, needs food to feed her kids. Or that Joe needs a jacket for the winter, or needs encouragement. I'll be more sensitive to the people around me during this time. I'll be able to give bread to the hungry and help feed people. Okay, then it says in verse 9, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. Oops, sorry, I skipped to verse 8. Then shall the light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall be before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Our healing shall spring up speedily. Oftentimes during the time of fasting, I'm not a medical doctor, but you will lose weight. It lowers cholesterol. I've seen studies that it lowers blood pressure. Your body is cleansing and repairing itself. And even in the animal kingdom, I've heard that many animals go without eating when they're in sickness or have physical problems. And the righteousness that will go before us. See, God will protect us from frontal attacks and from our past or rear attacks trying to attack us. Verse 9 then says, and then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, and the pointing finger and speaking wickedness. So you shall call to the Lord, and the Lord will answer you. What a great promise that when I'm fasting, I can call out to God, God, save me, God, heal me, God, help me. God, I want to get closer to you. I need you in this time. God, you see what's happening. Rescue me. And it says here that during this time, God will hear what you're praying and will answer you. And God will guide us as we continue to work through that. The rest of Isaiah 58 is just a promise time of just all the promises God will do during your time of fasting. So I want to encourage you just to think through a fast that is right for you where you are in your walk of life. Some people can give up only coffee or tea. Some people can give up solid food and have juice and smoothies. Some people can't. Some people can give up meats, sweets, and breads and only eat pretty much vegetables and fruit and nuts. And that would be more like the Daniel fast. So when you're thinking of a fast to do, really just pray and say, God, I want a fast, but I need your help. Would you show me which fast would be right for me? And don't get discouraged. If you fail in your fast, don't get discouraged. That's the enemy wanting to attack you. Pick yourself up and just say, God, you know, my heart wanted to fast, and I just saw how vulnerable my flesh is. Just forgive me, Father, and I want to keep going. And you'll see him forgive you, and you will see him encourage you and still strengthen you. And I would just want to encourage you that during this time of prayer and fasting, that God will heal you. He'll really take your life, and he'll minister to you. He will set you free of any addiction, any problems that are going on in your life. He'll answer questions that you may have questions to. And it may not be the answer you're looking for, but it says here that, wow, we should call unto the Lord, and he will answer, and he will say, here I am. And so oftentimes, even in my own life, I've realized I've entered a fast, sometimes with selfish motives. But at the end of the fast, I came out of it with unselfish motives. I was closer to God. I was more sensitive in my spirit to God. What used to bother me, or not bother me, now bothers me. What things that I used to do that were wrong, now I say, wow, I can't even touch that anymore. That music is just not right for me. Those shows, that TV, that movies, they're not right for me either. I just became more sensitive to God in that time. I'm able to see the ungodly people around me that need encouragement, need the gospel in their life, and even the believers around me that need encouragement and need to be uplifted. So if you look in your own life, just see this topic of fasting is that God wants us to fast. Remember the disciples, Jesus said, they would be giving, they would be praying, and they would be fasting. So I want to encourage you in your life to really seriously take time to look at this topic of fasting. You may want to look at maybe dedicating a day a week to fasting, or 2 days, or a meal, or a time period that this is dedicated to the Lord that you want to fast. May God bless you as you walk on this journey of fasting.